Join myself and Rabbi Bazak for some holiday escapade, adventures, experiences and tips. The Dadding Podcast, Give Me a Break, Holiday Special. Welcome back to the Dadding Podcast, Dadding Give Me a Break, Holiday Edition. I'm Rabbi Fine.
He's Rabbi Bazak. We're now on the plane. Right, what side of the plane do you board from?
If you've got row one, you're easy. I mean, row one's first class.
At the back, you're easy.
At the back, you're easy.
Middle. If not, I'd just go to the front.
Go to the front?
I'd have too lazy to go to the back.
Kids sitting where?
That's very interesting. Now this is interesting for me, meaning most cat families, when they fly, then they can normally... Well, it's interesting. Two adults, two kids is a problem.
Because if there's a banks of three...
Normally banks of three. Normally banks of three.
Yeah.
So you've got a problem there. So do you go
three, one,
adult...
Two.
Adult, child, adult, across a row.
I understand that. Yeah, that's 3-1.
3-1, yeah. Or do you go 2-2?
Yeah.
And you divide and conquer. The 3-1 is not dividing and conquering, really. There's the expectation for the person on the other side who's not with the kids, to look after, to engage with the kid who is a little bit away from him, but not too far away from him.
What do you do with your 9?
Yeah, the 9.
Do you do 3-3? Do you have a whole row?
We do 3-3-2. No, we don't do 3-3.
We say 3-3-2. You do know that that's one child not accounted for.
It's me. No. And there's 9 of us. So, no, because the truth is, we haven't flown with 9 of us for a while because my daughter, for over a year. That's why I'm thinking about it there. So, it'll be 3-3-3. So, we'll take 3 rows. And
you mean one behind each other?
One behind each other.
3 behind each other. Yeah. 3-3
on
the back. Okay.
Yeah. Because then you can put the younger kids in the middle. And when they do that younger kids thing of standing on their chair and reaching over to the person in front or behind, they won't actually upset anyone.
Right. I've discovered it's not about where they sit per se. That is a cause of family opportunity, as we like to say it, but it's about who has what food in their bag.
Right. You have to spread the food.
Yeah, spread the food. It's not all individually packed. So you'll have someone who's in charge of the sweets. So that's often a nice compensation package if they don't get to sit
exactly where they want. Mm.
At least you can have the communal sweet box.
Yeah. Now, the interesting thing about on the flight is that, I mean, I'm speaking from my own experience here, which is, of course, I've always had young kids on the flight for the last 20 years, basically. I mean, for the last 18 years, I've had young kids on a flight whenever I fly anywhere.
Got it.
Now, that makes me the enemy. In people's eyes, basically.
Of others on the flight.
Yeah, of others on the flight. Yeah. Basically, I walk onto the plane, and you can imagine with 9 of us now, we're like an invading army. Yeah, literally, I get those type of looks.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh my gosh, no. Oh my gosh, no. Let them not be near
us. We'll all pay together for them to be upgraded.
Yeah. But it's interesting because we don't... I've actually flown, you'll like this. I've flown from America with 12 kids before by myself.
Why?
Because my wife was staying in America, my sister-in-law, who's a Revertson, was coming back to England, and her husband had already flown back because he had to be there for a Shabbos or something like that. So I was flying back with her kids and my kids. And there was one point, actually, and there's one point where, and obviously I was helping her and helping her, and there was one point where I was holding a screaming child, right, which was hers, right, which was a nephew, and he was screaming, and I was trying to calm him down, and a lady, an English lady, actually looked at me and said, "Can you not get him to be quiet?"
I find that so rude.
I mean, it is. So at which point I held out the baby and went, "No, do you want to give it a go?" And then I said, "It's not my child." Yeah. So which she was like looking at me in abject horror. I was like, "No, you're not going to do it. Okay, so leave it with me. I'm going to see what I can do."
Right,
yeah.
I just find it, so you get the tutters, the people who do tut.
Yeah, because I'm trying to get my kids to be... You understand that? I understand you're tutting me because I'm trying to get my kids to be
that
loud.
We've taught them to be...
Yeah.
Look, it's one thing if they're screaming and they're actually like shouting at each other. Okay, yeah, that's not positive. But if they're crying because their air pressure is such that their ears hurt, what do you want? They're children.
I'm trying to teach him. I'm trying to teach our kids how to pop their ears, but they can't at the moment.
What is that? It's not their fault. No? And yeah. When you booked your ticket, oh, tutting, middle-aged 60-year-old in front of me, you knew that there may be...
You didn't book the no-kids flight.
No, you could have sat in first class if you wanted.
It's quite a good idea, though.
And also, you were a child once as well, surely.
Yeah, but don't
tell me you never cried as a kid?
No, they didn't.
Right, do you know what actually happened? I'm not sure I can tell the story, but this is more when we get to destination. At some point, my mum told me this, that at some point when I was a child, it was in a hotel, I was crying all night. Literally crying, or whatever. And the neighbours, meaning that the people in next door room, they were upset. And they were like, I must have disturbed their sleep or whatever. And I went all night, crying late until the night. Only the next evening, they went out. They were staying elsewhere. They left their TV on full volume.
Well, it's like revenge.
Yeah, it's revenge.
That is hysterical.
My mum gave them what for over breakfast.
That is hysterical.
That's terrible.
Good for her.
It's just amazing.
Good for her. There's another issue, which is that I've got in my head, which is that once they're on the plane, I've kind of switched off my nervousness mode, meaning I'm not. I don't really have
an issue. Relative to the getting to the airport and being in the airport, yeah. So once you're on the plane.
Yeah, because we're on the plane now.
Yeah, we can't go anywhere.
And then there's the kids who walk to their destination. You know those kids?
What do you mean by that?
They don't fly to Israel. They walk to Israel.
You're on the plane?
Because they go on the plane. They go. There's the kids. They're the little toddler who comes into the aisle and just walks the entire flight.
Oh, yeah.
They walk up and down. You see the father or the mother, right? Just dadding. So the father following the kid up and down, up and down. And I'm a very, very helpful flyer. Meaning when I'm flying by myself or when I'm flying with my kids, my wife and I, both of us, are very helpful flyers. We like helping people on flights.
Nice.
We like to do it. We like our kids to see us doing it. And we like to do it generally, meaning help with seating and help with organize and help with bags and help with... And my wife is an expert with... My wife is an expert parent, as we learned last dadding, in the kind of last dadding series. She's an expert parent. And she actually ends up on the plane advising loads of parents.
Really?
Yeah.
Good luck. Unsolicited parenting advice.
Yeah, it's not really unsolicited, because what starts to happen is she starts helping people. We start helping people, and then there was a couple with twins on a flight. So she started helping them, and then she developed a relationship with the lady, and they started talking about she's got a wealth of experience, first of all. Yeah, unless we've done everything wrong, which could be, but if we haven't done everything wrong, she's got a lot of experience, and it's good for the kids to see. It's good for the kids to see.
Good
for the kids to see that we're number one trying to worry about others on the flight, not just worrying about ourselves.
Mm-hmm. But that also distracts in a good way.
Right.
I mean, they're not focused on the who's eating the more sweets in the bag.
Right. Right. Right.
I hear that. Safety briefing. I'm a bit of a traditionalist here. I feel it's good etiquette, not just the safety element, to listen to the safety briefing.
You give them a Kiddush Hashem speech, don't you?
I tell my kids first they have to make a Kiddush Hashem. You're a Jew and behave in a morally upstanding way. Not that others don't, and just make sure that you just set an example. But I just feel if the air hostess...
Does that work?
No. On occasion.
Yeah.
I just feel if the air hostess or air steward, etc., they're taking their time to show you the safety briefing, I think you have to close your book. I think it's rude to be doing other things.
Yeah.
Even though you know what they're going to say.
Yeah. Yeah. And I am.
Am I a traditionalist?
Yeah, a little bit. But to be honest, we do that as well. I make sure. Actually,
nod along on occasion.
Yeah.
You should get some audience feedback, you know?
It's true. It's very difficult. It must be a very difficult job.
Of course, because they've done this a million times and everyone's heard it.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway. And the interesting thing about it is that I actually once gave my kids character development lessons from some of the rules on the planes. So for example, this is a really good one, mm-hmm. right? You always put your mask on before you put your child's mask on.
Not always, hopefully it hasn't happened to you. Those are the rules, yeah?
Right, those are the rules, meaning that's the principle. And the principle is an important principle.
Yeah.
That if you're not ready, if you're not healthy and if you're not filled up yourself, let's say it that way, if you're not filled up yourself, then you can't, it's very difficult to give to others.
That's nice.
You need to make sure you fill yourself up with oxygen.
Did they appreciate that?
They did, yeah, they did. They do actually. They enjoy the fact that I tried to turn a very boring speech that they found irrelevant into a Talmudic lesson.
I'll tell you the most gutsy thing that I've done. Sorry to cut you off a second. The gutsy thing I've ever done on a plane is like this. I went up to one of the stewards in a very nice and English way, and I said, look, do you mind if I ask you a very personal question? And I think this is a true story. I went and I said like this. I said, look, we have a Jewish principle that the more you do something, the more it impacts you. So if I, every act at Stucker, every time I give something, it impacts me, makes me a kinder person. I said, look, I've noticed that the air host, the air hostesses, they're kind and they're courteous. And you know, has it impacted on your life in general? Have you become a kinder person? Isn't that a good question?
Yeah, yeah. What does it say?
19 at the time. He turned around to me. This is Elal. And he said...
No, he's never been nice to anyone. I don't know why that would be an appropriate question. Okay, but anyway, no, go on.
I'm not sure we can say that. Anyway, okay. So he said no. He said no, it hadn't made him into a...
God, I'll tell you why that
person.
Is.
Go on.
I'll tell you why that is. Because if you're not trying to achieve the goal of it building the muscle, then when you do it, it doesn't really build the muscle. Okay. That's how character traits work. Mm. If you're not trying to build the muscle with the context, then you're... So he's doing it because he has to, the external actions.
Yeah.
So it's not he's not attempting to build that trait inside of himself. Now, obviously, we then have to deal with the getting off the plane.
Yeah, do you run? Do you feel like you have to get to, I guess, passport control and baggage carousel?
There is an element of race that is there on that plane. Yeah, there is an element of race that everyone feels. The minute that plane lands,
rushing to get there first.
Yeah, the element that that plane lands, the minute that that plane lands, there is an element of every
race to get there.
Yeah, 100%. Like you can see the people you're competing with. There's some people who are going to be much quicker than you. They don't have cases. You know they don't have cases.
Or children.
You can see they don't have cases of children. You can see that they don't in their eyes. They're kind of smiling as the plane lands.
Yeah, they should be seated. No, they should be like their first seat. They should really start first, to be honest.
Yeah. So then, and then there's that, and then there's that, and then there's that round the carousel thing, where I'm sorry to be a little bit stereotypical here, but where the men are standing there, kind of in position, ready to snap, and then they pass it on to their sons.
I think we feel as dads that that's there are certain things there are barbecues. Like for some reason, that's a dad thing. Not sure why.
Yeah, my wife buys the food, marinates the food, cuts the salads, does everything. I take it once it's been marinated, put it on the coal.
Right.
Well, not on the coal, on the barbecue. Turn it over, put it in. I made the barbecue.
But there's something very dadding-y, or maybe you could say manly, about like schlepping that case off the carriage. It's like caveman-esque.
Yeah. It's very. And you've had airport. You probably haven't because you're probably quite organized in this aspect. I have come back with someone else's case.
You're joking.
No, and they've come out with mine, I'll come out with theirs.
See, I've always thought, just security-wise, it is a bit of a risk. Like, you could take anyone's, and there's no one stopping you taking anyone's case, especially if they're similar.
No.
Yeah.
I don't know how you predict which case you want to take.
No.
I mean, you have to assess it beforehand.
That's true.
You can tell from the case as well a little bit, but I would imagine if you wanted to steal a case. But it's not a very practical way of stealing a case. Meaning...
No.
Although it is quite easy. Yeah, but you're right. I don't know. I've never really thought about stealing a case on the
thing. Have any of your kids gone on the carousel? Has anyone jumped on it? I don't mean...
No, it stops as soon as you do as well. Not that I've tried before.
No, of course
before,
not. I remember you're in Luton.
Although I have. It stops as soon as you get on it.
In Luton Airport, you know, there's carousels that go within the building and then protrude outwards.
Yes.
Not ones in Israel. They're nice and round and you can fully expose. So the cases weren't coming out. It was at England were playing then. It was the World Cup. So I think everyone was just watching the game. And so he put a note on the carousel saying, please give us our cases. I went on the carousel. And if he's expecting the people on the other end to like see it.
That's very funny. Yeah, that's very funny. Of course, you suffered on that trip as well, that Israel trip as well, when my case actually came out before yours.
That's terrible.
Well.
So yeah, that
not only were you more organised getting to the airport, but my case came out first.
Yeah. I still don't know the science of that. When does the cases come out first? Is it last on first off?
I don't really know. I don't think anyone really knows.
No,
I don't think there's any method to the
proper
madness.
Research. But that's also. But when you're waiting for your cases. Let's say you've got four or five, I don't know how many you take, but some have come out and others haven't. Or let's say there's one yet to come out.
Yeah.
And you're thinking they really should all...
Why weren't they together?
No,
why weren't they together? They went on together. Why have they come off in such radically different times?
True. It's a bit like parenting. you know, you kind of put in the same effort, relatively speaking, to all of them, and then
But parenting, you understand, because parenting, because the cases, there's no reason for a case to come at a different time. A child, I understand, he's got his friends, his society, his your level of your level of time, effort, then the nature of his personality, his or her personality, the nature of your personality, how those two personalities interact, and all those type of things. And I always find it amazing that of how holidays are actually a good example of how different kids are. It's a brilliant example.
Go on.
Right, that I've got kids on holiday who literally want to do nothing. I mean, we discussed this a bit. Who literally, if it was up to them, they wouldn't get bored. It's not that if I left them doing nothing, they would get bored. They wouldn't. They could read the same book 10 times.
Hello.
It doesn't make a difference to them. They just want to sit there and do nothing. And there's some people and some kids on holiday who they need to go on holiday. They need to do things. And if they're not doing things, then so. And again, come back to our first kind of principle of that the holiday is investing the credit. Investing in those relationships. It's really important to understand your kids and understand what they need in a holiday, so that you can provide the correct things for them.
Got it. Well said. Right, so we've done the airport. We're off the plane. Next episode, we are on holiday itself.
For listening to the Dadding Podcast. For more Shirim classes, experiences, adventures, and events at Seed, please check out our website or email our office.